Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone. It is the Red Men TV podcast. I'm Paul Machin, Chris Pajak and Ross Chanley. Join me for this one. You being bad boys?
Wow.
Always.
It's like the ultimate 90s boy band just right in front of my eyes. We've a kickoff question this week comes from Asulis Theodosiu.
I reckon I'd have been quite good in the boy band. I mean, I can't sing for shit, but then no one can they.
Don't need to. Auto-tune these days as well. Absolutely.
Move around.
We've done music videos. When he sings on it. Like,
yeah, fucking hell. We've done music videos as well.
Yeah. Anyway, the kickoff question is, if you could clone one current Liverpool player, who would it be and why? Sulis's choice would be Fabinho to have wrong. One at the back and one in midfield.
Just totally wrong. It's Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah.
We'd have two in your Virgil van Dijk.
No, it said in the question, one becomes instantly fit.
I didn't read that part. Note the clone would be fit immediately.
Oh, okay. Van Dijk then.
But you'd have one Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah.
Because you got one injured one and you'd have the clone would be fit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so...
Well, Fabinho, because he's fit, so you have two of them. One DM, one centre-back. Centre-back's solved, midfield sound.
At this point, it's not sexy, but Milner. Like,
that's a good shout.
Having a few Milners about the place would be like, it'd be like multiplicity, Michael Keaton. Just, you'd have them performing a load of tasks. The more multiples of James Milner you could have, there's no problem he couldn't solve.
You'd have to call him Mr. Milner, like Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Multiple Milner.
And to be fair, though, like, the form he's in, Jota, because who cares a shit about the defence?
yeah, absolutely.
A full 13-14 on it. No, surely it's got to be Virgil. Because, like, I get Fabinho, because he's a boss player, but he's not as good a centre-back as Virgil. So if you've got one Virgil van Dijk, you win the league and European Cup.
He could, yeah. We can cope everywhere else, but just you can deal with injured right-backs and other centre-halves and all that, because Virgil's raising the level of everyone around them. There is something like, in a fully fit Liverpool, you're cloning Alisson. Just because...
Put two goalkeepers in there.
Because he has his problems. No, but so you never have to be without Alisson. For the same reason as the Van Dijk stuff, because we're having it. Like, at the moment, you've got all these swirling rumours. And I should point out, at this point, totally unsubstantiated swirling rumours that Alisson is out for the game tonight. Might be. We'll see. He might have COVID. He might be injured for months. We will doubtless find out, probably at the point at which we finish doing this podcast. And it's
normally
too late to
it's normally,
to
it. Yeah.
I'm happy with all them suggestions, to be perfectly honest. Let us know in the comments, who would you clone of the current Liverpool squad? Do you go top heavy, or do you look to bolster, you know, supplies elsewhere in the pitch?
Just a shout for Robbo in there as well. Actually, I think, you know, with the energy that he's got, he's always fit. He's out there.
Where else would he play though? Like left. The second Robbo,
left wing.
Okay, yeah, I'd rather have a second Mali if we're going to do
I'd
that.
I'd rather have a second Trent if we're going to do that, because you play Trent.
Yeah, I tell you what, could you imagine the amount of goals Salah would score if there was two of him on the pitch? Mm. I mean, for a start, he'd start passing in the area to himself.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't mind, because his statistics would be boosted either way.
Can I have the answer, just for the positive upbeating of it, can we have a fit Thiago Alcantara?
Yes, that would be lovely. I just forgot all about him.
Yeah, for all the same reasons we've listed for all these other players, except, like, the thing is, you choose Virgil over him, you choose Alisson over him, you choose all these others because I know how good they can be for us and I know how important they are to us. Thiago Alcantara is the least important player to Liverpool because he hasn't had the chance to establish himself as important to us. I'm told he's world class. But yeah, I just wouldn't mind seeing him play some games for us. So yeah, that'd be a good question. Right. Okay. Yes, we're going to dive in. We're going to be talking about the fact that the ticket ballot is underway. Hopefully, later on today, we'll know who the first 2,000 are going to be inside Anfield. The FA Cup draw has been done. We're going to talk about that and why Liverpool needs to absolutely 100% unequivocally swerve the FA Cup off, which is very similar to the conversation we have every year, but more passionate this time around. And we're going to talk about the state of the fixture pile-up in general and have a little bit of respite that's going to come from massively not being in the League Cup, which I think is all part and parcel of the same thing. But first and foremost, yes, we have, Ross and I have a book. It is out now. We sold out of the special editions. We absolutely, totally, utterly underestimated the demand for that. We've done that twice. We finally managed to get one more load of those. So if you want a special edition of Champions of Anything, get it here now, and here's a little bit more about the book. The second Redmen TV book, Champions of Everything, is available for sale right now. It comes in two editions, the standard edition and the special edition, which comes signed with a custom message of your choice and with a limited edition Redmen TV sticker pack as well. The book is huge. It is A4 size and it is chock full of insight. Photographs from around the world following the mighty Reds, who were reigning European champions, who won the Super Cup, who became champions of the world, and then capped it all off with a 19th league title, becoming champions of England. The book looks at the highs, lows, absolute insanity and bitterness of rival fans, and some of the craziness from our own fan base as well along the way. It is available now on the Redmen TV store. Get involved. There you go. Yes, Champions of Everything is available now in two variations. There's a special edition, which comes signed, and you can have a custom message, and there's a limited edition sticker pack as well. If you just want the standard edition, you can get that as well. But yeah, get involved with all of it. It's a wonderful book, wonderful Christmas present for anyone looking for one, or just get it to treat yourself. But yeah, if you want the special edition, I'd get moving, because they'll be gone. They'll be gone very, very soon indeed. And that, as far as I'm aware, that's it. That's us done on the special editions there. So if you want a signed copy, then get it sorted. Okay. Hey, gents. First and foremost, the ticket ballot. A lot of people, I think, had the realisation, Chris, that like, oh yeah, like the El Postco Liverpool City region thing means, yeah, no tickets for a variety of people. I went to, I was like, well, my uncle will be able to come in. No, my uncle, H. Gauss, but he lives in Stockport. These are the conditions of all this stuff. Look, it is what it is. I think everyone had this secret hope that they'd be able to, you know, they'd get a call off Jürgen. Come on, lad, come down. come and get involved. I can't wait to have you back in there, but it's not going to happen. But, you know, we will know who the first 2,000 are this week.
Yeah, and obviously some of the rules are, you know, L postcode, isn't it? If you get a ticket, you're out of it, basically, aren't you? So you're not going back in, as far as we know yet, unless they change that. There might not be as much of an uptick as we thought.
The rule on that is that you can't then get another ticket until everyone who's been on it has had.
Makes sense. It seems like, to be fair, it's a really fair way of doing things. So I'm really glad that Liverpool have put some thought into it. And obviously this isn't a decision that they've made this week when we knew that Liverpool fans were going to be back in the ground. This is a decision that they've probably had, well, if this happens, we're going to do this. If this happens, we're going to do that. So they've kind of already got a good idea of what was coming. So brilliant, good work by Liverpool there. I'm not surprised that everything's going to go photo ID and stuff like that. And I feel a bit like VAR in that once that happens, that's that for good. And that could put a lot of people's noses out of joint a little bit.
There's a double-edged sword with it all, because it's like anything. It's like a blanket rule on stuff is always done to punish the worst of people, but it inevitably ends up punishing a lot of very like well-meaning and innocent people and stuff. And there's lots of that across all walks of life. Because you're right, the photo, like an example of this is the tickets are non-transferable, so it's tied to your mobile phone. And so you can't forward your code on to someone else, and they don't want a photo ID being operation at the turnstiles as well, which, in terms of cutting out touting and all that kind of stuff, you know, and the world's where, you know, people hoard loads of tickets and resell and all that kind of stuff, that's the way to solve that problem. But what it doesn't help with is, let's say, you've got a ticket in your family and you've been keeping that in your family for years, which I get it. That's not the rules. You know, you're meant to use the ticket that's in your name. But like, also, come on, we all know how hard it is to get a season ticket, and keeping them within your family's it's like an accepted ill almost in things.
I think you feel bad if, say, for example, you have one within your family, but someone in that bracket, say that, you know, they're a certain age or they don't feel comfortable going to a game, but they're paying for a season ticket, so they're still within their rights. So say if your dad's got one and he doesn't want to go to the football, why can't he give it to you? Yeah. That's you're right, he's a bit black and white, isn't it? But they should be able to, you know.
And by the rules of this, that's all part of the whittling down process, isn't it? Is that if you don't want to go,
everyone's probably got a chance of going to the game at some point. Yeah. It does whittle it down. There's nothing there that makes me think it's unfair. Mm-hmm. What Liverpool have done within the remit is very, very fair. There's just going to be a lot of disappointed people as well. There's always going to be disappointed people, unfortunately. Yeah.
Transparency was the thing that I think we asked for last week, was it? You know, just be honest, tell us what the rules are. And like you said, I've not seen any uproar from anyone saying, well, can't go. You're right, there will be people that are disappointed, but, you know, they can't account for everyone's situation.
Well, everyone who's got one of those tickets that's in their family goes, yeah, kind of saw that one coming. Yeah. Not going to get too angry about it. It's gutting, but it is the rules, and we're not playing by the rules. It's on us, kind of thing.
It's the current situation, isn't it? I mean, again, that's the problem with it. Just looking at down the line, and I don't want to get into the conspiracy theory, you know, sides of all these things. That's going to be a problem. It's not a problem that's going to go away. This is what the clubs have been looking for. It's what Liverpool have been looking for ages. Is this opportunity? And again, it's like the branding thing. It's like trying to trademark Liverpool and trademarking the Live a Bird. It's to stop all the counterfeiters. But what the rule does is it damages well-meaning people on the ground, close to the club and what have you. At the same time, with it, so they do have to be careful with that you don't end up with a little bit too draconian a system. I wonder whether, for me anyway, and again, it's not something that will happen now, you'll probably see it very strongly enforced. My hope is that they reach a point where it's just an added step, an added barrier, but the barrier is not on the gate. You know, the barrier is in the cloud. The barrier is in how you purchase tickets. But, you know, when it comes down to it, because again, you don't want people being turned away at the door who've, again, my dad can't go, so he gives me his season tickets. What's wrong with that? They'll be like, well, no, you should be reselling that back to the club and all that kind of stuff.
They're still getting the money, aren't they?
Dodgy guy. Well, exactly, yeah. And that's where you've got to be careful, because, you know, that's where, you know, you end up with, instead of having it, you pass again. It's a really good way to bring a young generation through. That's how I got to all my early games. You couldn't get a ticket to Anfield, but my dad would go every now and again and go on. Like, I got to see a Merseyside derby, the one where we finally won with the, you know, in the 90s, because my dad just turned up to me on a Saturday morning and went, I've got something on this afternoon, here you go. And that was a passing of the torch almost, sort of moment. You don't want to stamp that out, because that's gonna hurt local fans more than it's going to, you know, more than anything, really. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. Hopefully they'll be sensible with it. They have been quite good at being sensible after the fashion. I'm sure Spinner to Shankly will kick them up the arse and they'll be fine. basically. Okay, we'll see. Good luck, by the way, to anyone who's in the ballot. Fingers crossed for you. And let's hope you don't get one of the ones that is an absolute nightmare. Did you see that tweet? It was like, having never been successful in a European Cup final ballot, I'm really looking forward to being successful for, like, Sheffield, for Burnley. Midweek.
Is there any part of it for both of you that kind of doesn't want to go, for the fact that
not in the slightest?
Okay,
I just want to go. And it'd be nice to be able to pick and choose, because there'll be better games to have it. And what I'd be like, going that Spurs game in a couple of weeks' time would be amazing, because it's just it's a big game. Which we want Liverpool to win, and I don't care that there's 2,000 people. If I have to make the noise for the missing 52, then I'll try my best.
You can't.
Well, you can. That's nonsense. That was the Daily Mail blowing that all out. The you can't sing things bollocks. Like that was just the Daily Mail making a bit of a mountain out of a molehill and all that kind of stuff. What are they going to do? Walk around and tell people to shush?
Tell people to sit down.
Yeah. They'll say. It's not going to be anywhere near as draconian.
My thing is, I just want to experience it. Like, I want to know for myself, because I've spoken to journos who go, oh, it's a bit shit, you know. But I want to know I want to see it with my own two eyes. I want to feel it. I want to be in there. I want to see what it's like to watch a game like that. And then I might go, yeah, not for me. But I want that. I want to be able to make that decision from my own experiences, not from somebody else's.
It's not. Hopefully we're not far away from it being back to capacity. You know, this time of year, this time of year for now, it all seemed like a distant memory. Hopefully, and we just be quite weird. Like I've watched charity games at Anfield with half capacity and no atmosphere, and I've watched youth cup games with like hundreds of people and the atmosphere. I've played on the pitch and with no one in the ground, going to a competitive Liverpool game and seeing what the 2000s like. It's a big onus on what will that be like. Will people sing? Will people make an effort to kind of generate noise? You can't know because you don't know who are the 2000 who are going to be in there. Are you going to have 2000 people who care to do that, or you're gonna have a bunch of people who normally sit in the centenary stand,
yeah,
and just like the experience of going along and watching the football and maybe gently clapping if someone does something spectacular.
Tell you what, it's a brave lad who takes a flare in there, innit?
It wasn't me.
You're gonna endanger anyone. You've got 25 seats. Yeah, yeah, you should be allowed. Yeah. 10, yeah,
absolutely. Yes, right, okay, so the FA
and then it gets barred off anyway.
Oh, God, yeah, wasted. Yeah, you pull another one out, which you've smuggled in and you wrecked them because that's the only way you're going to get it at this point because there's the full body cavity search, which I guess would break COVID protocols, but there you go. Yeah, the FA Cup draw has been done. Liverpool will face Aston Villa.
Again.
Yeah, and to be fair, credit to Liverpool for putting out a post like, ooh, chance at revenge. No. We could follow this conversation on the lines of, oh, isn't it a big opportunity maybe to go and get some revenge? And there was a very brief moment, Chris, where that was one of the thoughts that came into my head. And then I looked at the fixtures, like, I'm sorry, but I would, you know, Klopp joked the other week about giving Brighton the points. If it was an option that didn't lead to us being docked points in the league or facing major, you know, sanctions that would damage the football club, I honestly would be, I'd boycott the FA Cup this year.
I wouldn't, to be honest with you. You know, for me, well, what are Villa going to be like at that stage of the season? Now, for me, I think it's too early to tell is what I'm trying to say more than anything. It's not like I wouldn't go, right, we're going all in on the FA Cup. No, we're not doing that. But it's also like you get Trent back, you get Keita back, you get Shaqiri back, you get Thiago back, you know, and all of a sudden your squad's looking good. And then you might be looking at, you know, we're not in the semi-final of the Carabao, which will be played that week of the first FA Cup game. We've got a 7-day gap from our last league game to the first FA Cup game. That's a full week.
That's not true.
Is we not playing on the second?
I think we played in the same week. I think it's the ninth. Is that? Oh, maybe you're right. Actually,
so we play on the second and we play on the ninth in the FA Cup. So there's a full week. So why couldn't you judge it then? I mean, if you're not playing the FA Cup, you've got basically 11 days, but I don't think that's because you have to play that game. I don't think he's going to go away with squad for a week.
Yeah.
I think you could probably take a little look at it and go, do you know what? Aston Villa, I don't know whether they're in the Carabao, probably should have checked. They could have had a game 3 days prior. You know, they'll be in a similar situation to us and a lot of teams will. So I think it's just a little bit too early for me right now. Now, the issue is the fourth round.
The fourth round is
all of a sudden between Manchester United and Tottenham Hotspur. But then you've got, it's not like it's 2 days. You've got 6 days between United and the fourth round. Mm-hmm. And then you've got 4 days after the FA Cup fourth round in Tottenham. So again, I just think right now, if you get your squad back together, roughly speaking, then you've got an opportunity there to go deep in the FA Cup. Now, you could say, look,
that's a big if, though, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Well, yeah, I suppose
probably
you're right.
Probably the biggest if of all.
I think Trent will be back by the time the FA Cup comes round. I think Thiago will be back by the cup comes round. I think
They'll definitely be back, but
and then you've got games to get the match fitness, which is not a bad thing either.
I think that logic works in a normal season, but the problem is that we might get someone back, but there's no odds that they're staying back.
The issue there, I suppose, is that it's both sides of the argument, as it were, is mights, ifs and buts, and which is what I'm saying. You don't make your decision yet. You do make your decision when you've had Christmas, because it could be that you've had Christmas and we've got another 5 injuries.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I'm going to go, well, that was a stupid idea 3 weeks ago, but it's based on what's happening.
If you follow the trends now, the idea of Liverpool not having a break from football between now and the end of the season, which is effectively what is the case. The FA Cup weeks, and you can't fuck the third round off. So what I'm saying, Liverpool are not going to boycott the third round. It's to demonstrate the point. I would be putting a team of No senior players will be playing in that game for me, unless you need to get a couple of lads up to match fitness. My point is that Liverpool should be doing everything in their round to not progress to the fourth round, because when you look at the fixture run, the only free week that Liverpool have between then and April is the fourth round of the FA Cup. That's the only week off at all in any of the fixtures. It's two games a week other than that. And if you do that, then it's another any other options down the line. It's going to be more two games. It's going to be more fixtures added to it. I wonder whether there's a psychological thing of just saying, particularly because you've got the Man United game in there as well. Get to the Man United game, because you can say right, put everything into that point and then breathe. And that's the only respite this squad is going to get. And again, it's fear at the moment. But if you were to plot how the season's going to go, we're not going to be less injured, because our players fall to bits at that point of the season normally, because we go super hard because two games a week in January, and we're normally an absolute quivering mess by the time we get to January. I can't imagine a world where that's ever going to be better by the time we get to the FA Cup games.
No, and I think it partly ties into the Carabao Cup that's coming up this month. You know, we're all made up, but we're not in it because the players get a rest. But again, that comes back to the situation that we're in. We've got all these injuries, so it's ideal now for us not to be in it because, well, A, it's against Manchester City, and B, you know, it's in the middle of, three fixtures within a week, and we're all laughing at Everton for being in it. The other crew injuries and all these other teams that are still in that competition will do it. It's not even just the fourth round, it's the fifth round that's between Man City and Leicester City. So it's all, you know, our chances or risk of getting more injuries between now and then. I think you're right. You know, Trent will come back. Everyone that you named, I've got a good chance of being back for that. But then are you forced to then play those players that aren't 100%? Liverpool aren't known for doing that, but we've never been in the situation before where we've had so many injuries where you're asking people to go again and again and again. Like James Milner, injured. If Genie plays tonight, you know, what's the chances of him getting injured again? Well, why are we playing him? Because there's nobody else. You're right. If what's maybe you could find yourself in a situation in January, February and March. And what are you left with towards the end?
We joke, it's become like an in-joke among Liverpool fans, like the warm weather training camp that we always seem to come back worse from. But like, they do that for a reason. You know, there's player safety and fitness and health issues. Like we were talking about before, we were talking about the other day and I got it wrong, they fucked the winter break thing off because they looked at the fixture calendar and went, well, the season's a month shorter. How do we fit it in? Oh, there's a spare weekend there. Let's put a game in there.
Idiots.
No, it's this, and this is the point, is that there is no letting up. There is no busy period. It's a fucking busy season. And look, Liverpool might find a situation where they put a team and no marks out and they end up in the fourth round.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I suppose that's what I'm kind of saying is that, like, again, you know, ifs, buts and maybes, you might need those games to bring others up to speed. Mm-hmm. Because all of a sudden, you know, you've got two games against Manchester United and Tottenham, and let's say Trent's a little bit late coming back and he's not played for 2.5 months. Well, that FA Cup round with the kids might actually be a fairly decent one to get 45 in his legs.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why for me, generally speaking, I don't want to go and Liverpool to go out and win the FA Cup, but those early round fixtures, dependent on injuries, could become useful to us in some ways.
It's an interesting point, actually. I mean, you're right. I mean, the counterpoint to it all is that you've got to make it. It's not just an 11, isn't it? It's an 18, and we see this when we put it. If I look at the Atalanta side as an example of this, it's great putting certain lads in because certain lads are going to need game time. But it's who else? Because your dependables are normally the lads who go in there. So Milner's normally in them games, and you'll put Genie in them games, and you'll have, you know, one of your good centre-halves in there just to keep it ticking over. It's brilliant for them. But at the moment, and again, this is, we can only judge it from where we are right now, it's that idea of having to add another fixture where somebody's going to have to double dip. Someone's going to have to go another game. Just to put it, again, unless we go with the route that we saw last season where Klopp goes, naturally, you know what, I'm just going to
put it. Yeah, and I suppose the other thing is as well, you've got the January transfer window now. I think it's probably too early for that first fixture, but if Liverpool get the business done on the 1st of January, then it could be a good game to bring a centre-half in alongside maybe Reece Williams. He might not have played for a couple of weeks because then you're looking at probably we're in the gap of Champions League games. Maybe Nat Phillips is playing every game at this point. Reece Williams' fitness has kind of tailed a little bit. You've got a new centre-half in. You want to give them a game in a game that you're not really asked about either way. Again, could be come useful, might not be, might be an absolute pain in the arse, might be the worst thing ever, but right now I just think it's too early to say one way or the other.
I think you have to take it on individuals. You know, Trent was a good example. He might be fine, but you know, then you've got two games after that. Well, if Trent's not playing football and Nico Williams isn't about and James Milner's not about, you know, you have to assess the squad as a whole as and when. So you play Trent for three games in 1 week because you've got no one else, or you know, a Naby Keita, you know, we've seen you can't do that. Matip can't play three games in one week.
But there's no chance. No one here, amongst all of this, no one's going full strength for Aston Villa, right?
And yeah. I don't think Aston Villa are going full strength for Aston Villa, yeah.
And yet, again, so at this point of like, it's like there'll be revenge or all these kinds of stuff, it's a fucking absolute nonsense. I can't.
Well, I'd still be saying that to the young lads because I'd be saying that about last year.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, good point. But yeah, there's no way. There's no way this gets treated. I mean, the FA Cup has been is getting undermined season on season. There is no chance that this is like going to be a resurgence for it. Even because again, it boils down to it. There's plenty of clubs who would love a trophy. I was having this chat about, you know, because the League Cup's an interesting conversation because looking at the quarterfinal fixtures. So you've got Brentford, Newcastle, Arsenal, City on December 22nd, Stoke, Spurs, and then Everton United on the 23rd, and the Everton boys are already like going, well, that's it. We're done and dusted. And I'm like, well, all he needs a trophy. Like, well, you just need a trophy, but you know, something has to give in all of these situations. The thing is, it's like you can capitalize on these. Someone needs to go and capitalize, but the problem is, in this season more than ever, if you choose to steal a march, and this Everton fucked themselves by going for this competition because they went hard in the last round of the round before and picked up two injuries in that game, and they've never quite recovered off the back of it. So for as much as the will might be there to go, this is our season to get an FA Cup, you're running for it, you could find yourself hobbled and not actually able to go for
that's
it in the same
That's way. The thing for everybody, you know, it's that short blanket syndrome, isn't it? If you go for the FA Cup, you pull it up and then all of a sudden your league might be damaged because of it. And actually, if you're going to prioritise anything this season, Everton should be looking at the league. Villa should be looking at the league. Leicester should be looking at the league. Get a little bit further up, maybe get a few better signings in. Try and get yourself into that top eight consistently, such that you're in the conversation every year. You know, Everton really this season should have been looking at top four, or at least, and they are probably still looking at top six, but they're going to find it difficult if they're in three competitions because their squad's not made for it.
Yeah, so what the board of these clubs want as well, because it's all right saying Carlo needs a trophy, Everton need a trophy. Well, what's the monetary value in a Carabao Cup? It's fuck all. And even more so when you compare it to, you know, if Everton go for Europa League. I think they'd much rather that.
It's not about the monetary value, though, for some managers, is it? It's the...
No, but the board will say to go for this because we need European football. We need to get, you know, particularly for the likes of Everton, get a foot in the door in Europe. Yeah.
And getting the proverbial monkey off the back as well.
And then that again attracts more players. Okay, Everton in Europe now, we're not playing once a week, whatever else, it all adds up, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But it's going to be a fascinating thing. Again, it just boils down for me. There's never been a year more. We sit here every single year and say the same thing. I've got no problem with the FA Cup at all. If Liverpool can find a way, normally speaking, my opinion is generally like, if you can not go too hard in it and find yourself, all of a sudden you're in the fifth round, and you've not overcommitted to it, then you might as well prioritise it by that point, because you're only a couple of games away from Wembley and whatever. And we always say you don't want to be out of cup competitions, because what if you cocked the round of 16? Bear in mind, we're not even qualified for the round of 16 yet. So we're saying all these things. All of a sudden, if we cock up Ajax and Midtjylland, we might be going, well, go on the FA Cup. But equally, the league, getting another league title is so important, and we are so decimated by the strains of this season that I personally can't find any motivation towards that, because all I'm looking at is that FA Cup fourth round week as an oasis in the middle of a dry desert where everyone's just going to be crawling the way to it. And if you all of a sudden you find yourself there with no football to play,
what if you play the kids against Villa, they get a victory, and then somehow Marine do Tottenham and you play Marine in the fourth round. This is the thing with all of these things. The draws can open up to you. They can shut the door on you very easily as well, but they can open up to you. It's like what you were saying before is right about the FA Cup fifth round. And I say the same about the Carabao. If you somehow manage to get to the semi-final, you might go, oh, I can smell a trophy there, you know what I mean?
My feeling on all this, and it's the same as the League Cup, because there was a lot of people who looked at the League Cup and were like, that's gutted, we're out. I want to be in it, I want to win it, more fixtures. And there's a very brief part of me that's like, yeah, come on. Because you've got, like, you just had them two games and you're done with it until December. But that was fine thinking in September. I would not want to be. I am made up. Like, I know Jürgen's got the problem with the early kickoff for the Crystal Palace game before it, but Liverpool playing the early kickoff on the Saturday and then not playing again until 4:30 the following Sunday and having that week off is an absolute godsend. Can you imagine, again, given everything we've gone through right now, all of a sudden you've got Man City in the middle of that week? Because there's no, even if you're going second string, we're not saying this, what's Liverpool's second string? You know, Klopp has asked this question in the press conference. How are you prioritising? He was like, I haven't got enough players to prioritise. There's lads who just have to
He's
play.
Also being asked about two different competitions, though.
Yeah.
So it makes much more sense. Klopp's answer when it's Champions League and Premier League. It's completely different if he was asked about the Carabao, because he'd have just thrown the kids on that week, for example.
Yeah.
And the kids that we're not even used to seeing at the moment, maybe your Leighton Clarkson and all them lads would probably get a little kick about. That's the other thing with the FA Cup as well. You know, yes, we've got a really tough the fourth round, not necessarily anywhere near as tough.
Yeah.
There's still loads and loads of football clubs still in it. You could get someone relatively easy that you just think, yeah, okay, that's fine. And, you know, we've seen Klopp give more and more power to different people in the football club, and he's not scared of putting the kids out. Now, we was forced into it last year, of course, but again, I'm not able to sit here right now and go fuck the FA Cup off.
Mm. The problem we had, I think you were saying it before we were filming, is there's lads who normally you'd be like, FA Cup, great, because it gives them some experience. Like Nico Williams and Curtis Jones, that actually they're playing football games for us now, because we've got no choice but to play them at this point. And that's why...
Might be able to rest them, though.
No. Yeah, true enough.
That's part of the problem, isn't it? We're not having this conversation because the team that we're playing week in, week out in the Premier League and Champions League is close to a second string.
Yeah. We played that cup. I said this. That Atalanta side was a League Cup team that we put out there, with the exception of the goalkeeper. Like, if you play Adrian in that game deliberately, that's, you know, because again, you've got this few kids who are your third or fourth, fifth, whatever, your third choice in their positions. And then you've got a couple of lads who are around the fringes who come in and do jobs in those games. The Milner team, as it were. And then you've got a couple of lads who need the game time to get up to speed. And then you've got one or two of you nailed on first teamers just to fill the number, just to make sure that it's competitive. If we played that team in the League Cup, we'd be, and got beat, we'd go, oh, that's the League Cup team, whereas the Champions League, we presumed it applied differently. Yeah,
Can I look, by this FA Cup, what, third round, maybe the fourth round, you could have, hopefully, Adrian, Nico, who's not in the first team at this point because Trent's back, Rhys Williams, Nath Phillips, Kostas Tsimikas, James Milner, Naby Keita, Ox, maybe, at this point, Origi, Minamino, Shaqiri.
Yeah. And if that's
what I'm saying, we just don't know today.
100%, exactly. And if that's the case, it's not a problem. But again, as I say, and again, we can't know because we're talking, it's pure speculation. And this is not me being, but this is not me being a super pessimist in this situation. This is, it would be insane. Like, what beyond lucky if we're able to have those, if half of those lads aren't our actual first team by that point, then look, you know, if half those lads are even fit and available, like, Jean Jacquiri, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
He'll have been back for 3 weeks and out for 3 weeks and back for another week by then, Paul. What are you talking about?
Yeah, let's get a bet on Jean Jacquiri and Naby Keita being fit and available for any game of football in the dead of winter and all the things. You just don't know, do you? It goes back to it. Like, we were gutted that we didn't get through Atletico Madrid. But not having to play in the summer and having even a limited pre-season, I have no idea what we would look like now if we played until the last week of August. I just know, you know, I don't know who would still be available to join on the pitch. We were gutted about it not continuing the League Cup, which is a good chance to pick up a little bit of additional. So, well, you've won the league, you've won the Champions League. This is the season when you should just go and hoover up a load of extra trophies. Actually, I'm made up that we're not in it because it gives us a little bit of a pause. And you're right. If the situation presents itself where we've got an opportunity to give games time to a load of lads who really needed to get back up to speed, that third round could prove invaluable. But my sneaky suspicion, looking at the world and how it's panning out right now, is that if we've all of a sudden got a week spare in January, when, let's say, Man City have got another game of football, and Spurs have got another game of football, and Chelsea have got another game of football, it'll feel a bit gutted at the time, but when they are all literally in a ditch by the time we get to March, then there's a slight positive to us actually taking it less seriously than ever.
Do you see the final question in the presser yesterday?
No.
So someone from the Netherlands asked Jurgen Klopp, he said, do you think the amount of fixtures has led to the amount of injuries that you've got? Why the fuck are you asking that?
Yeah.
Like, throwing a social grenade at him. He fucking went at the end.
Yeah.
Fucking stupid question.
It's just obvious, isn't it? But no, I must admit, there's a little part of me looking ahead to the fixtures and stuff when you look at those League Cup games. And Spurs and City, who I still think will be the two closest challengers to us this season, having that one extra game of football, regardless of how seriously or not they take it, is, like, rub your hands together territory, because again, look at City's thing.
When is their game in hand?
No, it's not been decided yet. And this is another of these things. The more games that your rivals have to play, we've always said this about City. City fucked themselves because it was great that they won all those cup competitions, but they just added loads of extra fixtures onto themselves, and all of a sudden all those lads who they needed to depend on, all their best players who were all getting a little bit long in the tooth, have absolutely goosed the legs and all that stuff.
Is it the same for United? Are they still one back because of all the European stuff as well?
And Villa's the other one, obviously. Villa, just to your point before, Villa aren't in the League Cup anymore.
And for the latter stages of the domestic cup competitions, you've then got a catch-up date. So there's three different dates of where, within the space of 3 days. So it's fine having a reward of getting to a semi-final or a final, you get knocked out, well, 2 days later you're playing in the Premier League. Yeah.
It's absolute madness this season, because we were talking just before about the winter break and how they've biffed that off ridiculous this year. The one year where you need it more than absolutely ever, and they've decided to get rid of it. The problem we've got at the moment is it was such a rush around, and everyone was thinking that the season will be back to normal by December and all that type of stuff. No one actually gave any serious consideration to what might happen. I mean, like, you look at Newcastle now, like, that game might get postponed if they're not allowed in the training facility or whatever, and then you've got another fixture to throw in further down the line. There should have been built into this somehow, some way, a buffer, and that buffer needed to have come from the European Championships, unfortunately.
They've been fucked because they've gone Champions League, and the European competitions have to be played until, as I said, the end of the third week of August, pretty much. And then these Euros have to start. So you've got to start and finish your entire campaign. And they've done that thing of, like, trimming off what they can. So they fucked off FA Cup replays, and they fucked off the two-legged semi-final for the League Cup, which they should have done anyway. sad. I mean, I get the nostalgia on the FA Cup. So there is a value to the FA Cup replay. I don't want to totally poo-poo that, like, but all told. And yeah, we said this before, the two rigid structures, it's the trash compactor analogy.
Except the players are in the middle getting squished.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the big problem with it. And you're right, it doesn't factor in all those extra things. What happens if a game has to be postponed because of COVID? There's no allowances for that because they've filled every spare gap with everything they possibly can, and not made any allowances. I said, a great, and hopefully, vaccine comes, and that will take away the pressure of players going out with COVID, which will help. But it's not going to give us any more games. In fact, it's probably going to hurt footballers in some regards, because if you're asymptomatic and you've got to isolate, at least you're getting 2 weeks off intense physical activity, which is going to go away if that goes.
Is there a gap between the group stage and the final stages of the Euros? Yeah, because if people got to play a game then, just go back to the Premier League and go, you can play. That's when they're going to fit it in, aren't they?
What do you mean the group stages are what?
The Euros?
Yeah.
Do you mean Champions League?
No, Euros.
The group stage of the Euros to the finals of the Euros. No, I don't think so.
Just cram a Premier League game in
finish
the game and then carry on. Go back out unless you're England, you'll be home anyway.
Yeah, it's mad. And even like the Champions League finals, the 29th of May, as well. So even the Champions League finals a little bit earlier on the whole thing. It's
I think some players will opt out of the Euros.
This is the problem. I can see that Troy Deeney, fucking moron, talking about like the concussion protocol stuff, and how like players know when they're fine, they'll play on, and it's like
no, they don't. That's the whole point.
That's the point of being concussed, mate. This is the thing. You're right. Hopefully, I wonder whether, and this is a tricky situation, because again, it's not gonna, the Daily Mail are not gonna, and the Sun are not gonna take this into account, but there should be pressure from club managers on a few players and going, lad.
This might be where we actually see the benefit of agents, because there might be an agent just whistling in someone's ear there going like, look, mate, your contract here, you've got 4 years, you've just done 2 years there completely solid, you've been dead lucky not to pick up an injury, but if you want that big spin, your short career, all that type of stuff, you've got to make your money now, that ain't making you no money. Making sure you're fit and available in the Premier League or whatever big league it is might be the one where they just go, you might have to sit this one out soon.
The problem is agents look at it and go,
shop window.
100%. You know, if all of a sudden you scored a massive goal in the Euros and you're the talk of the town, that's just going to make your contract negotiations a little bit easier, isn't it? But look at those players. I mean, again, it's
fucking Barros.
No, but it's the problem. Like, look at the lads who we would most need it for. Andy Robbo, not a chance in hell he's not going to the Euros if he's available. He would drag himself on one leg, and you know, just for the pride of doing
that. And I'd accept that. And I'm fine with that.
No problem. Trent Alexander-Arnold on the other side, right? Young lads, Scouse, so we'd be like, oh no, but like,
4 more tournaments in me, probably, maybe more.
But also, most competitive position in England's entire squad, right back. You know, if he doesn't establish himself, we've seen top quality footballers never make it in England because they miss their window of opportunity to establish themselves. Jordan Henderson, he's going to be, if he's lucky, he might end up as captain for the Euros again. Last big hurrah for him, 30 years old. You're going to tell Jordan Henderson he's not going. He should do. And he should say, well, Liverpool's more important. But short careers and all that kind of stuff, doesn't need to make any more money. He's done everything he needs to do in his career. Maybe crashing and burning horrendously at the Euros, let's make it. But the dream of maybe going and being the guy who adds the trophy lift.
Isn't it our year? Isn't it our year this year?
Yeah,
the Euros?
It always are. These are the issues we're going to find all over the place. If you're a superstar, the team's built around you, and you get to go and be boy of dreams of all that. If you're a fringe lad, or you're playing for a lesser nation and all that kind of stuff, like it's got more importance to you.
I'd be more the English lads, just go, yeah, fuck that. We're not going to win anyway. Yeah. We're going to get to the quarters and we're going to get knocked out again. Mm. I'm going to get berated in the newspapers for months, maybe years afterwards. Yeah. It's not worth the stress.
Yeah. No, it depends what they do with next season as well, because they've got to go into that and then straight into a World Cup. But I can't imagine they're going to do something similar to this season where they go, okay, you finish a tournament.
Well, it's not straight into a World Cup, is
no,
it?
No, but it's from the Euros, if you get to the last stages of that, what you're talking, end of June,
Well, listen, no one's answered the question yet of what the fuck the 22-23 season looks like.
Yeah.
Because, of course, it's confusing. I can't wrap my head around where it falls season-wise because it's not... It's midway through, not next season, the season after, isn't it? The World Cup at this.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah, because so we don't know what that kind of looks like. So at least in that regard, it means next summer should be clear. But doubtless some idiots will fill it with another fucking... The Club World Cup will be like, right, Club major.
There's 2 days there, let's get nine fixtures in.
Yeah. AFCON will be like, right, we've missed one, we'll do two. We'll do two African Cup of Nations in one.
The Confederations Cup literally did that, didn't they? They went from like a 4-year cycle to a 2-year cycle and then just went back to back years to get into it. It was mad, like.
Yeah, stupid. So, yeah, we've got all that to look forward to. But yeah, let us know if there's anything we discussed in the comments section underneath. Thank you so much to everyone who sent comments in. Thank you so much to everyone who's dropped a like on this on YouTube. If you're on podcasting services, do give it a 5-star review if you can. That always helps. Pick up the book while you can and grab yourself a Christmas sweatshirt from the Red Men TV merch store again while you can. We've got another, less than 2 weeks?
Yeah, probably between 10 and 12 days.
Yeah, to get guaranteed Christmas delivery in the UK. I need to stress on that. The guarantee date has passed elsewhere. You can still order things by all means, but obviously yeah, you might well get it, but we can't guarantee it by the post. So yeah, get involved with some Christmas stuff, cheer yourself up, or celebrate some wonderful successes of the past. We'll give you a little closer look at that in video form in a moment. But gents, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. That wouldn't be your fault. It's just that it's very hard to find wonderful, happy things to talk about at the moment. Hopefully that will all come a bit later in the week. Thanks very much. See you all soon. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.